from your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. And all kind of rain this week, and schools, as far as I know, there's still some schools in the area closed down tomorrow. There's places over in Colbert County, homes with inches and inches of water in it. The water's caused a lot of damage. And we know how water works. It's going to find what we call the path of least resistance. That's what water does. Those places that got hit the worst, the worst where flooding took place, those have been low-laying spots, and water's going to go to where it's easiest to get to, the path of least resistance. As shameful as it is, haven't we followed that sometimes? Has there not been times in our life when we were inclined to take the easy way out? You know that we have. Times in our life when we did just enough to get by. You know that we have. Times in our lives when we were okay with the absolute minimum. You know that was right. Sometimes a B is the best you can do. Sometimes a B is lazy. And sometimes we took the easy way out. And that's just a thought question, just to launch out a little bit. Could it be that sometimes when we are at our most discontent, sometimes maybe when we have some of our highest levels of frustration and inadequacy, could it be because deep down we know we could be better? We could do better. We could have tried better. Look at Luke chapter 17. Beautiful phrase. Just what an incredible statement of servitude. Verse 10 of Luke 17. When you shall have done all these things that are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. That's an incredible phrase. That's an incredible statement of humility. But here's the catch to it. The only thing that gives it value. We love that last phrase. I'm just a servant. I'm unprofitable. Everything I've done, don't give me any credit for that. I've just done what I was supposed to do. That's an incredible statement of servitude and humility. We ought to be striving for that attitude. But those are hollow words unless the first part of the phrase is true. Read the first part again. We kind of forget that part of our memory work. When you shall have done all the things commanded of you. That last phrase means nothing if the first phrase isn't true of us. If we're not faithful servants. If we aren't busily doing what's been commanded, that last stuff is just a bunch of nonsense. And it's just hollow words that we know we're not even close to fulfilling. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. What I want to look at today is this idea that God puts above us, puts before us, of exceeding. We are not in the kingdom to be seeking the path of least resistance. God has given us exactly the opposite of that. That this minimum level of standard, that is not the gospel call at all. And I'm guessing, if we could go back to the Sermon on the Mount, well, this would have been early on in either the end of the first year or early of the second year is when this would have taken place at. And when this statement was said, it probably gave some pause to some people. Look in verse 20. I say unto you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that would have been earth-shattering to them because in their mindset, the scribes and the Pharisees, well, they were the most righteous among them. They looked at them as the standard of righteousness. They're the ones who fasted all those times during the week. They're the ones. And what Jesus is saying is, if you don't get better than that, I don't want this bare minimum. I don't want you to, I want you to exceed that. You got to be better than that. He's going to make a lot of reasons why that they've got to be better. But just the idea of exceeding. Look at how he gives applications to this. Look in verse 21. You've heard it said by those of old, you shall not kill. Whoever shall kill will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother is in danger of judgment. Let me pause and ask the question. Is Jesus saying something easier or something harder? You've heard it said, don't kill. I'm telling you, if you don't control your anger, you can't get, judgment's not going to be a friend to you. Is he asking for something less or more? Look at verse 27. You've heard it said by them of old, you will not commit adultery. I say unto you, whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her. Which, is he giving them something easier or something hard? You've heard it said not to commit adultery. I'm telling you, lusting can make judgment not a pleasant thing for you. Look in verse 33. You have heard it said by them of old, you will not swear by yourself, but you will perform your oaths. I say to you, don't swear at all. And he goes on in the next couple of verses to describe the fact of, let your yes be yes. Is he asking something easier or harder? You've heard it said that, you know, not to swear, but if you swear by an oath, well, make sure you get that done. I'm telling you, if you say something, you do it. Your word means something. Is he asking them to do the minimum, or is he asking for something more? Look in verse 38. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, and here's where he goes on to say, if they hit you on one side, give them the other. If they take this, give them more. Is he asking for more or is he asking for less? What Jesus was teaching early, early on is, if you want to be in my kingdom, minimum standards is not going to cut it. There is some exceeding things that you have to do. And for us to truly answer that gospel call, we've got to make sure we're governed by that principle. Turn to Ephesians 4. This idea of exceeding. This idea of getting away from bare minimums. This idea of not being like the water and looking for the easiest way out. Ephesians chapter 4, start with me in verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity, the futility, the emptiness of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. Then he describes that hardened heart, because of the hardness of their heart, who being past feeling, it's gotten so hard, so calloused, so scabbed over that it can't even hardly be pricked anymore. There's no feeling left in it. Who being past feeling have given themselves over because of a hardened heart, blinded eyes. Here's where that leads. Because of being past feelings, they've given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. Make sure we read that right. That is not a list of three things. It's a list of two things that's expounded upon. They have added to themselves lasciviousness, licentiousness, that lustful stuff that we read about in Matthew 5, to work uncleanness with greediness. Greediness is not just the third part to the list. What he's saying is that we have given ourselves over to lustful things, and we've done it greedily. We've given ourselves over to lasciviousness, and we have done it greedily. We have piled on our life unclean things and thoughts and actions, and we've done it greedily. The idea is we don't just have those unlawful, lustful passions. We just pile them on. We greedily just take more and more of it. And is that not how lustful things work? We're never satisfied. There's always more out there. We can be guilty of this. We follow the crowd along these lines. Our conscience soothed in it. because we're just kind of, everybody else is doing it. I'm not dressing immodestly. I'm just dressing like everybody else. My children aren't dressed immodestly. They're just fitting in. My children aren't eat up with lasciviousness and lustful things. They're just going to the dances because everybody else does. It's rites of passage. And we basically give permission to be in places where we know lustful, lascivious, unclean thoughts are rampant. What is wrong with us? And what are we doing? It's the least resistance. It's the easy way out. Look in verse 20. And by the way, remind us what we just read. This hardened heart, blinded eyes, greedily, both hands raking in lascivious things into our life. He says, that's what happens. But here's the addendum he adds to it in verse 20. But you did not learn this from Christ. Yeah, this might be what, he said, this may be a true statement of us. This might be a description of you. He says, this might be going on in Ephesus. But if this is what you've learned, you didn't learn it from the Lord. If this is description of lasciviousness and lustful things that are greedily, if this is us, the callousness, you didn't learn it from the Lord. We know better. What Jesus was doing on the sermon in Matthew 5 was, he says, do better. I know you know it, now do it. And is that not what Paul is telling the Ephesians? I know you know this, and you learn things from the Lord that's different from what's going on. And so the idea is, what's needed is to do more than this bare minimum. And we're back now to the heart of a servant. Luke 17, we're unprofitable servants, but the catch to that is servants. We got to serve. And so that leads to this emptying out of ourselves. That's how Jesus so often dealt with the apostles. When they got in, for lack of a better phrase, that competitive mode, who's going to be greatest in the kingdom? I want this seat, and I would like so-and-so to have this seat. And they had that pecking order in their own mind. And the way he handled that was, hey, you want to be great in the kingdom? Be like this child. You want to be great in the kingdom? Serve. Talking of himself, I didn't come here to minister. I came to minister. And so servant is the mindset that we have to have. Now, real quick applications about this. How can we take this idea of exceeding? How do we take this idea of not following the path of least resistance in life? Let's look at that for a moment. First of all, let's talk about his parents. Deuteronomy 11. Life, if anything, doesn't slow down. It just speeds up. And it doesn't seem to be that there's ever a time in life where we have all of our faculties. Well, that's not true. Life may slow down when we get put on a bedridden. Life may slow down when we're in a health situation where we just can't hardly function. But until that time, the culture we live in, we are moving, and we have this to do and we have that to do. And so to the parents, life hadn't slowed down for you when the children came. If anything, it sped up. Look in Deuteronomy 11, 19. But that didn't change, the busyness doesn't change the responsibility given. Deuteronomy 11, verse 19. You teach them to your children. Talking about the law. And here's how you teach them. Speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. And there's probably another thing that me and you might do. We have to think hard to figure it out. Laying down, rising up, walking, sitting. That's pretty much, that kind of explains what me and you're doing at almost any phase of life. Any time during the day, that's pretty much, we're doing one of those. And now here's what happens. We're busy. We got 8, 10, 12 hour days. And then I've got this to do, and I've got to help this get done. And we're busy moving around with all these responsibilities. But we can't lose this. And then look back one day and say, I didn't exceed. I missed it. I didn't take advantage of the opportunities. And then with broken hearts, we look back and say, I'd like to do that again. I'd like to have another shot at that. the bare minimum is not going to teach our children how to be different and how to be a servant in this world we live in. It's not going to do that. Even when tired, even when pressed for time, this has to be done. What about our work? Look in Colossians chapter 3. Our role as a worker. Now, a caveat of Ephesians chapter 3 is, he's speaking of servant and masters, and me and you understand the time period. This was talking about slavery and indentured servitude and so on. So me and you have to kind of, in our mind, we have to flip that to the situation you and I are in. But we can do that. It's not hard to put ourselves in this position. We work at places, we have bosses, we have people that we answer to, we work at companies, and maybe they don't treat you well. Maybe they don't pay you what you think you're worth. Maybe you have given a lot of extra responsibilities, but they're not appreciating it. And so what we decide is, well, I'll let my performance be equal to my standing. I'll just pull back. I'll just do the bare minimum. I'll punch in, I'll punch out, and I'll do enough things I'm not going to get fired. That's our application, maybe. But we know what slavery was like. Thankfully, we've never lived under it. Lord willing, we never will, but we know what history teaches us. So put yourself there. Put yourself in a situation where there is no freedom. Put yourself where it's not the nice, benevolent boss, master. Verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Can you imagine the worker? And could it be us? Working busy when the boss is there, when the eyes are on us. Not with eye service, not as a man pleaser. We work really hard when the boss is looking. We look really hard when the foreman's around. But when he's not, we throw it back into overdrive. We just kind of coast. He said, that is not my workers. Verse 23. Whatever you do it heartily to the Lord, not to men. The point he's saying is, I know you're in a hard situation. I know your boss and your master. I know you serve somebody that doesn't appreciate you. He doesn't take care of you. As a matter of fact, he mistreats you. Realize that you work for me. Is that not what verse 23 is saying? You do it as to the Lord, not to men. He says, realize that you really serve me. And when you work hard here, I see it. I'm pleased by it. Verse 24, and know that of the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance. That would have just ignited a slave. Here's a slave that doesn't have anything of their own. And he says, if you work hard for me, I can make you an heir. I can take you from nothing to an heir of a king. And so the point is, do we realize who we work for? Do we realize that the bare minimum isn't going to cut it? And the interesting thing is, this one that we serve, his eyes are always on us. We can just go through the day, go through this day, knowing that the eyes of our master is on us. We go through this next week with all the things that's going to happen to us, and we don't know what they are yet, but whatever they are, we know our master watching. And that's who we're really accountable for. Bare minimum doesn't cut it as a worker for the Lord. What about our brethren? There are brethren among us that we just fit with like a glove. Personalities are the same. Likes and dislikes are the same. There are also brethren that the only thing we have in common with them is the Lord. All the other things, personalities and character, all that other stuff, kind of not as much in common with. The only thing that we have in common with them is the Lord, which is the only thing that really matters, isn't it? But for those brethren that maybe we're not just as easily meshed with, are we flexible? Do we go out of our way? I'm not talking about compromising. We're just talking about compassion. It's easy. That's the path of least resistance, is to just to huddle and rub shoulders with certain ones. And we can be as guilty as anybody of the little cliques, our little section. God wants more than that. It's a family. It's a brethren. It's a brotherhood. And there's an eternal nature about it. It's just some real quick hitters. Where probably all of us could be better. Real quick hitters, where probably all of us, if we're being honest, sometimes taking the easy way out. But God wants us to do more in every aspect of life. And when we do that, how it will change it. How drastically it would change our life. Look to 1 Timothy 1. I want to look at the call. I want you to exceed, he said. If your righteousness doesn't exceed this, you can't be with me. Now, I want to look at some verses to just emphasize. None of them are new. But I want you to look for the word exceeding. And then look what it is that God is exceeding at. And the point is, He's not asking us to do anything He hasn't already done for us. If you're going to be in my kingdom, your righteousness has to exceed. So let's look for that word. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Paul writing, I thank God, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, appointing me into the ministry, who was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. He said, I did a lot of things that were horrible, and I remember it, and yet God had a work for me. Thank God for that. Verse 14. The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all accepting, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, whom I am chief. And all of us ought to say a mental amen to that. Because we've all been in that period of our life when we're the chiefest of sinners. Verse 4, but there was exceeding abundant grace. He's asking us to exceed in some things. He's already done it for us. Look in 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. When He asks us to exceed, He's not throwing a gauntlet down that He won't cross Himself. He already has. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. 2 Peter 1, 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power has given unto us things that pertain to life and godliness through knowledge of Him that has called us by glory and virtue, thereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And that by these exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. He talked about to the Ephesians early on, me and you, if we're not in the bad times, in the weak times, we are greedily adding lustful things to our life. He says, because of these exceedingly great and precious promises, verse 4, we can escape that lust. We can escape the corruption of all that stuff. Exceedingly great and precious promises. Look at Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. He's asked us to exceed. And did He ever show us the example of how to do it? Exceeding abundant grace. Exceedingly abundant promises. Now, Ephesians 3, verse 20. Unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. He's asked us to exceed. He's asked us to get out of the rut of bare minimum, skirting by, doing the least amount of resistance. What He says is, I have offered exceeding grace. I have offered exceedingly great and precious promises. I have offered to hear prayers and to answer prayers above, exceedingly above even what we could verbalize. He says, now I want some exceeding things from you too. So don't forget what we are. Don't forget that that's a part of our call. Now, here's the sad thing. Others might not appreciate this. In the moment, even the children might not appreciate, no, you're not going there. But mom, but dad, no. They won't appreciate it in the moment. But you serve another master. The people you work with might not like the fact that you kind of put them to shame. And they may say things like, you know what they'll say. They might not appreciate that you work exceedingly above the minimum because it's going to make them look less. And they might say some things about you. The brethren, maybe, as the saying goes, some people are weaned on a dill pickle. Some people are just kind of sourpusses, and no matter what you do, they're... might not even appreciate it. We serve a master who will reward. People may question your motive. People may question your sincerity. But all you are doing is the work of a servant. We're just doing what we've been expected to do. Let's just make sure when we say that, I'm not worthy. I'm an unworthy servant. I'm just doing what was expected to me. Well, let's just make sure we're doing it. Make sure we are doing that. And so when you do these things and maybe you still, maybe the appreciation and maybe, remember who you serve. Keep shining. And remember that those acts in secret, God will reward openly. Get your songbooks out. Interesting homework assignment for you. Just go home, get your commentaries out, and find some other things, other verses where the word exceeding is found. Exceedingly. God, throughout His people, throughout the time of His people, He was letting them know, it takes work to follow Me. And He lets His people know in so many ways, the bare minimum does not get it. It's never gotten it. Make sure me and you don't get lulled into sleep. If anybody needs to respond in a public way, do it while we stand.